Been a pleasure to be part of the Twin Cities Festival so far. I'm working as an advisor. So those of you who went out and trained to be a counselor, my job is to be there to help you if you need assistance. But my job isn't to be doing the counseling and praying with people so much as helping people when they run into those difficult situations during their prayer and their counseling time when people leave the Lord. Then hooking people up with counselors who've made a decision and no counselor has found them yet. And it's been kind of fun to stand back and watch the body of Christ doing the work of Christ. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about what's happening here at the festival. We will not, just want to remind you, that we will not be having a prayer service here this evening. Because of the Louise Plough Festival, I would ask you to go on down to the festival and check it out. Take a guest. That's how we get referrals from people who receive Christ, is if my friend goes to Northbrook, they put that down, and then we get referral from that. And we'll follow up with that person. All these people are getting hooked up. That's what I did till 2:30 this morning. Actually, till 2 a.m. I got home at 2:30. As we went through all these sheets of these people, and we hooked them up with a church. It was either the church that they regularly attend, if they were a part of the festival group, or the church of their friend who brought them, if that church was part of the festival, or if neither one, if there was no church that they were recognized with, that we would hook them up with a church that is part of the festival that is geographically close to them. And that's how that's working. So be in prayer for all the follow-up. There's going to be a lot more work to go on. There'll be those who will be following up with phone calls. There'll be people who are going to be doing data entry. All this information is going to be put in. And these people aren't just going to be birthed and then left on the doorstep to find their own home. Okay? We are seeking to hook them up with good discipleship. So we go, and that's the festival is an important, wonderful thing, but it's just a one-day event. The discipleship of these people, these new people who have received Christ, these people who have made recommitments to the Lord, these people who have questions about Jesus and their faith, the discipleship of these people is our job. It's the job of the church, and it doesn't end tonight, it just begins. And that's what we need to keep in prayer for and follow up on. Also, this evening, the Hmong are receiving their new youth pastor. They're having a special dinner. If you're not going anywhere, have any other plans, I would encourage you to come on over and join them at 4 o'clock for dinner. Okay, the dinner will start at 4 o'clock. Their worship service generally starts about 2:45. And Pastor Nusong informed me that he was going to try real hard to be done by 4. So they should be done by 4:30 or 5. And ready for dinner. They will be having a dinner. I would come at 4:30. Even though he says 4. Join them for dinner and just say hello. Let them know that we care. They are very good about making sure that not all the food is very spicy. They do keep most of the hot stuff off to the side. So I encourage you to be there if you can. With that, let's move to our scripture passage. Gospel of John, chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, want to turn with me, feel free to do that. Gospel of John, chapter 19. Otherwise, just look up on the screen ahead. I'll be starting with the first verse and reading through the first half of verse 16. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize that I have power either to free or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "Let this man go. You are no friend of, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here's your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning, and we humbly seek your divine intervention. Lord, we can't fully understand and comprehend your word without the infilling and the leading and the discernment that comes through the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to infill and lead and to grant us that discernment and wisdom so that we can gain understanding from your word this morning. Lord, this is a very difficult passage. It's hard for us to look at this and to find that peace that you would have for us to take and apply into our lives. Lord, it's not comfortable for us to hear the words or to read the words of people saying, "Crucify him," and know that it's our sins that caused his crucifixion. Father, come and minister to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your word so that each person here could be encouraged. Lord, help us to garner your truth and to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The greater sin is how I titled this passage, and I've had discussions with people in Bible school and in Sunday school classes and in late night phone calls and whatnot about, was one sin worse than another? You know, God can't forgive me of this sin because this sin is so terrible. And then we've also had this, you know, how one sin If you've broke, if you've sinned one way, one sin, if you've broken the law at one point, you've broken the entirety of the law. It's like a piece of crystal that once broken, it's shattered. It's done. We see that teaching in Scripture. So where is it? What is it? Are they all the same? Is there an order of magnitude? Well, what we're seeing here this morning is that Jesus is telling us that there is an order of magnitude. He tells us, therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. So there is a greater sin. What is it? What is it? Let's look at Pilate. What was he doing? He looked at Jesus and he saw that this was a man who was not guilty. But instead of saying, he's not guilty, get him out of here, Pilate was also a politician. And now, not all politicians are like this, okay? But too many can get like this. They become creatures that are swayed by current public outcry and opinion. They want to placate the people. Now, Pilate wasn't an elected position at all, but yet, if their reports get back to Rome that the people in the city are in rebellion, that we've got this kind of protest going, there's all this happening, that doesn't look good for him. And looking good is very important to him. He sent Jesus out even before he even meets with him to have him scourged. Flogged is the word here, but scourged was what you'll find in the King James. Basically beaten within an inch of his life. And that was before he even interviewed him. Before he talked to him. This was right. He said, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. I mean, Pilate had talked to him previously, but he said, he's not guilty. I don't know what he is. Well, you know, we'll go flog him. We'll beat him up. And maybe you'll be satisfied with that. The callous nature of that. Somebody who knew was guiltless. He did that hoping to placate them with the blood. If they see how bloody and beaten, how terrible his God is, how we've made fun of him, how we've humiliated him, then maybe their thirst for revenge will be quenched. No, it wasn't. Because we have the chief priests who are, if you would, they've got their ringers in the crowd. They've got their people who are saying, okay, now you do this. When they bring him out, you holler, crucify, you follow the chant. And Pilate tries to get out of it, tries to wiggle out. He says, you know, I'm the one who has the power, but we see that he really isn't the one that has any power, is it? So here Pilate is, sends off to be crucified somebody whom he knows is guiltless. But that's not the worst sin here. That's not the most awful thing that occurred. Jesus says that it was those who handed me over to you that are guilty of a greater sin. He's not speaking directly about Judas here, though an argument can be made for Judas. He's speaking in particular about Caiaphas, the chief priest, and the rest of the priests, and the Sanhedrin. You see, they had the law. They had the prophets. They knew what the promise was. And they were charged with keeping it. But you see, they've become politicians themselves. Now, I'm not trying to knock politicians, okay? But they became preachers who were after power for its own sake. They weren't men who were seeking after God. Even though they were in an office, that said that's what they were supposed to be doing, that they were the keepers of the word, the gatekeepers of the temple, the ones who were to see that the Lord was worshipped properly, that the youngest child was instructed in the truths about God, that in the synagogues, in the temple, that the word was read and all heard it, and that it was taught properly. And to see that all that was done, that was their job, to see that the promise of God was held up for everybody to look towards. But they gave it over. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." God was no longer their king. God was no longer the one who was over everything. They gave it up. Those who should have known turned their back on the Savior. They had the prophets. They had the scriptures that gave prophecy after prophecy and told this is what's going to happen. And when you look at Jesus, boom, 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 every single one, Jesus hits them. When you just look at the truths of the miracles that he performed, you can see that God was using him. But they didn't even want to believe the resurrection of Lazarus. You see, they were more concerned about their position, their power, than that the Messiah, the kingdom of God, was indeed at hand. So what is the greater sin? And how does it apply to you and me? You're saying, hey, I'm in good shape. I'm not working on crucifying Jesus. I'm not handing him over to Pilate and then demanding, you take Roman law and you crucify him. See, though they could have stoned him to death by saying he had somehow broken some temple regulation, that he was really a Gentile in disguise, or he'd brought a Gentile in to the temple or some such thing. I mean, they were lying anyways. They could have done that. But you see, crucifixion in their mind was such a humiliation that the Messiah, you couldn't be crucified and somehow have been the Messiah. Well, they were so wrong. Again, they weren't even listening to the Word of God. Tells us that he would be treated like a slave, doesn't it? And that he would indeed be killed in such a shameful manner. Well, you say, well, again, how does it fit me? What do I have to worry about with this greater sin? Well, the greater sin that we have to worry about is we have the complete Word of God. And if we reject Jesus, we reject the Word of God, we are committing the greater sin. See, all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us is destined to hell unless we receive forgiveness through Jesus. Right? Amen? Okay? But we have the Word. We know about Jesus. And if we don't receive Him for ourselves, when we've heard the gospel message, we are committing that greater sin. Because then we are making the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross to be valueless for our lives. We spurn the greatest gift of God if we don't take the salvation of Christ for ourselves. Also, if we know the gospel, if we know the truth about Jesus, and we seek to steer others wrong, we face even greater penalty. Because we're not just taking them away from ourselves. We're not just not rejecting them for our lives, but we're denying others the possibility. And that's what the chief priests did. And that's what sometimes we do. We, as in those of us who are alive today, I'm not saying that any one of you has ever done this terrible thing. But maybe you have. You knew what the truth was, but you tried to dissuade somebody else from it because you just were angry at God. You weren't going to follow Him, and you didn't want anybody else to follow Him. That's the worst thing we can do. So what's the best thing we can do to counteract that? Just receive Jesus. Receive the work that He did on the cross. See, He didn't go to the cross in humiliation. He didn't go to the cross in defeat. He went there in victory. He didn't go there because Pilate had power and authority over Him. He had a measure of it. But He only had that power and authority because Jesus submitted Himself to it, because it was the Father's will, so that you and I could be saved. So let us be careful not to commit the greatest sin, that of spurning the truth of the gospel message, or of spurning the truth and seeking to lead others astray, like the chief priest did. Instead, let us receive the salvation of Jesus Christ for ourselves and be forgiven of all our sins, the little ones and the big ones, Yes, people, there is a gradation in sin. And the torment in heaven is different. But there isn't any of it that's good. There isn't any of it that's pleasant. There isn't any of it that is full of joy. We need to receive our Lord and Savior, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. We need to receive the kingdom of God as our Lord and Savior. Receive the work He did on the cross. And then share it as He's commanded us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us, none of us, to be guilty of this greater sin of rejecting You and of knowing the truth and trying to lead others away from You. Lord, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to receive the punishment that comes from that. Lord, what we want is to know You as Lord and Savior from now throughout eternity. Father, help me to live for Jesus today. Help me to receive Him this day as my Lord and Savior. Help me this day to lead those around me to His salvation. For we pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's also